All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John's Gospel, chapter 17. All right, John's Gospel, chapter 17, and I want to start reading at verse 14. All right, the Bible says, and let me give you the context here. This is a prayer that the Lord Jesus made on the eve of the crucifixion. All right, so if you were to say this is the Lord's Prayer, you'd be accurate. Now, I know we say that little ditty in the Sermon on the Mount is the Lord's Prayer, but technically that's the model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is really this whole 17th chapter, okay? And it's amazing. I hope you'll take the time to read the whole thing. I just want to read a couple of verses here but the whole thing is well worth your while to read. But let's begin in verse 14. The Lord Jesus is praying, and he says in verse 14, I have given them, speaking of the disciples, the believers, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil one. So Jesus prayed for you, right there in that verse. Do you see that? He prayed for you and for me, right there in that verse. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now here's the verse that I want to launch into my message with. Look at verse 17. What's that first word there?
Sanctify.
Sanctify. All right, sanctify. Now that word scares people to death. It literally scares people to death. They just don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with it. And I'll hopefully will show you how to deal with it tonight. Verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, what is his truth according to verse 14? The word of God, all right? So, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There it is. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in sanctification. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the music, and thank you for preparing our hearts now to receive the word. And I pray that you will bless as the word of God is preach tonight. Thank you so much for this passage of scripture. Thank you for what you show us in these verses. And I pray that you will bless in a great way. Help us to really pay attention tonight and learn something that will help us as we live for you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things and amen. All right, I want to call your attention to the little word found in verse 17, the little word sanctify. That word sanctify is a special word. It means to set apart. If you were to get you a dictionary, any dictionary, Webster, Noah, or Daniel, it doesn't make any difference. Get you an Oxford dictionary, doesn't matter. You look up the word sanctify, and you're going to see that that word means to be set apart. Now remember that. If in the Bible, in the Old Testament, if something was sanctified, That thing was set apart for a special use or for special service. If something was sanctified, it was set apart, it was dedicated, it was consecrated, it was cleansed so that it could be used for something special or for special service. If you sanctify something, you are saying that you are setting that something apart for the Lord's work. Now, here's what it does not mean, and you must understand this. This is where people get the matter of sanctify all confused. What it does not mean is sinless perfection. It does not mean that. Now, folks, listen, let's be honest. Everybody just take your halo off and put it under the pew, all right? There is no such thing here as sinless perfection. You are never going to be sinlessly perfect until you get to heaven. Amen. All right, now I think you ought to try, but you're not going to make it. There was this little boy, and this is a true story. This happened in the church where I got saved in, and a little guy was about 5 years old. His name was Paul, and he was a cute little fella. You just never knew what was going to come out of his mouth. And they were sitting in Sunday school one day, and the teacher said, "We're all sinners." And they all just looked at the teacher, and the teacher said, "Now, how many of you have never sinned one time?" Little Paul just raised his hand. She said, "You've never sinned?" He said, "No, ma'am, never have." She said, "Not once?" "No, ma'am, never have, never have." And so the teacher got tickled, but she didn't want to laugh in front of the little guy. So she disguised it as best she could. And then she came and told his mom and dad after the service that what he had said. And his mother said, "He honestly believes that he is perfect." And so we used to call him St. Paul. Now, I'm sure when he got a little older, he figured things out. But you're not going to be sinlessly perfect in this world. I remember years ago in the first church that Karen and I served in, I was out in the community one day and knocked on a door, and a fellow said, you're the new preacher. I said, "Yes." He said he had a great big cross around his neck. That always makes me nervous, you know. A great big cross. And if you got Jesus in your heart, I just don't know that, you know, you need to have him around your neck. I don't know. It's just my feeling. I think you're trying to say something that, I don't know, it just bothers me. But anyway, that's personal. This guy said, "You're the new preacher." I said, "Yeah." "Oh, come on in." And so I went in and sat down, and we started talking, and he said, "I need to tell you something." I said, "What's that?" He said, straightened his back out and straightened his head up and held it high. And he said, "I haven't sinned in 5 years." And I said, "What?" He said, "I haven't sinned in 5 years." And I said, "Oh, man, that's awful." He said, "What do you mean that's awful?" I said, "Well, you just broke your streak." And he said, "What do you mean I just broke my streak?" I said, "Sir, the Bible says that pride is a sin that God hates." And then he got real red in the face and mad and proved beyond a shadow of doubt that he had indeed broken his 5-year streak. All right, listen, folks, the simple truth of the matter is nobody can be sinless in this world. You just cannot do it. No way and please understand, sanctification has nothing to do with you or anybody else reaching a place of sinlessness. The word simply means sanctify, means to be set apart, and specifically set apart for special use for the Lord or in service for the Lord. Now let me illustrate. This pulpit up here is sanctified. All right? Now, it's not perfect, but it is sanctified. Where I have put my hands on it and rubbed against it on both sides, there is, the varnish is going off of it. And right here, back before we got the little coaster in the summertime, Howard Otto would fill this full of ice and then pour the water on it and just come and set it on the pulpit. And there was no coaster on it. The reason why we have a coaster is because where he sat it on here with just a napkin, it leaked into it and it warped it. And so there are some blemishes up here on this pulpit right here where the water glass sits. So it's sanctified, but it's not perfect. Nod your heads. You with me on that? All right. So it's been set apart for the purpose of preaching and teaching the Word of God. Now, we don't use this pulpit to call bingo. All right? And we don't use it for anything other than preaching. It has been set apart, set aside for the use of preaching. All right? This suit that I have on, it is not perfect. As a matter of fact, it's a little snug. It's Carroll County water. It is shrinking my clothes. You with me on that? I'm getting a lot of amens up here on the platform. It is so hard to get amens up on this platform. You have no idea. And they're giving me an amen now. All right, so this suit is, however, is sanctified. The only thing I use this suit for is the Lord's work. I don't go dancing in this suit. I have another suit that I... No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Come on. You know I'm kidding. I'm just making sure you're awake. The yellow jacket, yeah. Wear the yellow jacket, right. You stay out of this, would you? All right, you get the point. If something is sanctified, it is set apart for service. Now, there are three ways in which the believer is sanctified. And I want to give those to you right now. They're real simple for you to grasp. Number one, a believer, notice the wording, a believer has been sanctified. Every believer has been sanctified. Notice the past tense. If you are saved, the moment you were saved, you were sanctified. The very moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were sanctified. Now, what does sanctify mean? To be set apart. So how did you get sanctified? How were you set apart the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior? Well, you were set apart for eternal life in heaven. The very moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were set apart for eternal life in heaven. It was all settled right there. By grace, through faith, you are a child of God now, and God prepares a place in heaven for you. You are sanctified. You are set apart eternally for heaven. You can, at any point in time, now look back to the day that you trusted the Lord Jesus, and you can say with full confidence and full assurance, I was sanctified on this day. This was the day. For me, it was October of 1970. That was the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior, and at that moment, I was set apart by God to go to heaven for all eternity. All right? So I have been sanctified. Everybody got that? Amen. All right, number two. Second, a believer is being sanctified. So not only can I say I have been sanctified, but now I can say that I am being sanctified. Present tense. All right, so I have been and I am being. This is the growth process of the Christian life. This means the Holy Spirit of God is daily conforming me more into the image of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in the same way an artist slowly paints on a canvas what is already in his mind, even so the Holy Spirit of God gradually is setting me apart for more service to Christ. Now, folks, listen, this is not done all at once. All right? This is a process. It takes time. It's called growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of the Lord. And gradually, the Holy Spirit works on my heart and on my life and makes me conform to the image of Christ. Most Christians that I know are much better Christians today than they were the day they were saved. You are, aren't you? I am. I mean, when I first got saved, I still would slip and cuss every now and then. You know, now I hardly do it at all. I'm just making sure you're staying awake, and so far, every one of you is with me. Now you're all going to go home and say, our preacher cusses. No, he doesn't. In John 1:16, listen, let me show you how this works, all right? Listen to these verses. John 1:16, the Bible says, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Then in, what's this verse saying? Well, it's saying that the Spirit of God works on us from grace to grace. Then in Romans 1:17, Paul said, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So here in this verse, the Apostle Paul is telling us that the Spirit of God works on us from faith to faith. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the scriptures teach us that we are changed, we are growing, we are maturing, we are developing, we are getting more like Jesus from grace to grace, and from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. The scriptures teach us that God has predestinated us to be conformed into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, Paul said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brethren. And folks, that's an amazing verse of scripture that so many people get twisted up on and tripped up on. They think that God is saying that some folks are predestined to go to hell and some are predestined to go to heaven. No, that's not what it's saying at all. Listen to the verse. It says that God also did predestinate us to be conformed to the image of his son. This verse is telling us that when we get saved, the whole idea of the Holy Spirit working on us is to make us more like Jesus. And that eventually, one day, we will be like Jesus. But until that day comes, we are growing. And that sanctification is a process. It is a gradual process from grace to grace, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory as we yield ourselves daily to the Holy Spirit, and he conforms us more and more into the image of our wonderful Savior. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
All right, number three. I only got 3 points, so we're really doing good. Of course, this one's got like 4 pages to it, but we are on the last point. Number three, all right? You know what's coming, don't you? All right, I have been sanctified. I have been set apart for heaven. I am being sanctified. And number three, a believer will be sanctified. So I, past tense, have been sanctified. I am present tense, being sanctified. And then thirdly, every believer will be, future tense, sanctified. You see, the day is coming when every believer is going to be like Jesus. Man, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? I am so looking forward to that day. The Bible says in Psalm 17 in verse 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What a great verse is that. The question is this: when will we be completely sanctified and be like the Lord Jesus? Now, if you ask the average person on the street this question, they will look you square in the face and say to you, I have no idea. That I have no idea. And you know, a lot of folks, and I'm talking about church folks, a lot of folks think that we will go to heaven and just immediately be sanctified and be like Jesus when we die. They think that right now, if you die, you go to heaven and you're just like Jesus. No, 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 no. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. There are a number of verses that I could turn to teach you what I'm going to teach you just now. But let me have you start. Let's go over to the book of 1 Thessalonians. All right, just jump over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. All right, look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, and the very God of peace, what's the next word? Sanctify you. Now, what's the next word?
Holy.
Now, that's not pure holy. That's WH. That's completely, totally, from top to bottom. All right? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless, watch this, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you see that? Very clearly, that I pray, God, your whole spirit and body and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at chapter 3, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, the last verse of the third chapter. It says, to the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, what is that? That's the rapture. That's when Jesus comes back and we meet him in the air. All right? So he says that we will be holy, completely sanctified when he comes. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And in verse 1, 1 John chapter 3. I'll wait till you get there. Everybody got it? In verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Now watch this. Beloved, now, what's now mean? Now. Right now, exactly. Now, in this day of grace, in the age of the church, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he, Christ, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when will we be like him? All of these verses are very clear, folks. They all show us that we will be like him when he shall appear, or when we see him as he is. That means that the believer who dies now and goes to heaven now is not like Jesus yet. Now, I know that that just shattered some of your theology. All right? I know that I know some of you are sitting there going, "Oh my goodness. Now what, so if I'm when I die, do I go to heaven?" Yes, if you're saved. But you don't go to heaven like Jesus. You say, "Well, what goes to heaven? What goes to heaven?" Well, for sure, the believer who dies now and goes to heaven is free from sin, and he or she is in a body, but it is not his or her glorified body like the body of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be made like him until we all get to heaven after we see him, after the rapture. So you might wonder, well, what do I go to heaven with if I die now before the rapture? If I should happen to pass away before the rapture, what goes to heaven? All right, go to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'll show you the answer to that. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to learn this on Wednesday night, a little bit of it. Look at verse 42. He's talking about the resurrection, and he says in verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. All right, now watch. When somebody dies right now, what do? All right, we have a funeral, and we take their body, and we put it back in the ground. What happens to it? It goes to dust eventually. All right, it goes back to the earth from whence it came. All right, so it is sown. It is, what do you do with seed? You put it in the ground. And what we do with the body, we put it in the ground. It is sown in corruption. It is a sinful body. And because of sin, it died. Everybody with me on that? All right, so it's sown in corruption. But when that trumpet sounds and the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds, the dead in Christ, you remember, rise first. Why? Well, they got 6 feet further to go than the rest of us. Everybody knows that. The dead in Christ rise first. And then those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the dead in Christ are sown in corruption, but they're raised incorruptible, perfect. No sin, no blight. See, you see, when Christ comes back, boom, we're raised incorruptible. We will see him as he is. All right? There is verse 42. Now look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. When Christ comes back and the trumpet sounds, we're going to be raised in glory. I'm glad I don't have to go through heaven with this arthritis in my right hand. I'm glad I don't have to go through heaven with my eyesight. I'm glad I don't have to go through heaven with this and that and other ailments that I have that are none of your business. You with me on that? It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Boy, ain't that the truth. And it is raised in power. It is sown, watch. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Watch this now. There is, that's present tense, is it not? There is a natural body. And there is a spiritual body. So every one of us has two bodies. You have two bodies. You are a natural physical body, and you are a spiritual body. Now we work like crazy to take care of the physical, or we should. We eat right, we exercise, we take vitamins. Well, we should. We go to the doctor. We should. You see, we do all these things to take care of our physical, natural body. But what do we do to take care of our spiritual body? You see, we ought to take care of it as well, don't you think? That's why Paul said bodily exercise profiteth little. It might get you a couple extra years, maybe. We'll be driving down the road. I'll see some guy out there jogging away. And I'll say, that guy right there, he's going to die old and healthy. But he's going to die. He might be old and healthy, but he's going to die. We're all going to die. Yep. All right? And when you do, what goes to heaven is your spiritual body, your spiritual man, your soul. Your soul. Now, let's see if we can bring some understanding of what the Bible says here. Remember what John said. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Right now, when I got saved, When I got sanctified, set apart from hell to go to heaven, I am considered by God as one of his sons. I am a child of God. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You see, I'm a child of God, and I will always in this life be a child, be considered by God as a child of God. But the day is coming when the Lord Jesus comes again. And that when he does, I'm going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and my old body is going to be made like unto his glorious body. Now turn to Romans. Just go back one book. You're in 1 Corinthians. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. All right, look at verse 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Abba. That's how the Hebrews say it, Abba, Father. We say, Daddy. It's a term of endearment. And because I'm saved, I can now say that God is my Father. He's my Papa. Amen. Amen. All right? Verse 16. How can you say that? Well, because the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What's that mean? That means that we're now waiting for that day when that trumpet sounds and we all get caught up together. Amen. All right? And he said, for the creature was made, verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Folks, do you? I've told you this before, but do you realize that every sound made in nature is in the minor key? That's right. The whole world moans and groans. You know, here's what we do. Here's what we do. We go, ugh. Ugh. Isn't it what we do? Yes, indeed. Why do we do that? We're moaning, and the whole creation moans and groans. And look at verse 23, and not only they, but not only nature, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Is that you? You saved? That's me. All right? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, or which is the redemption of our body. You see, right now, Paul says we moan and groan. Boy, we do, don't we? And then he said, we are going to moan and groan until the day of the redemption of our body. Now look carefully at verse 23. You see the word adoption there? The word adoption, that word is very, very, very key to that verse. And what Paul is saying to us is that right now, if you are saved, it is your soul that is saved. Your body is not saved. That's why you get old. That's why you hurt. That's why you ache. That's why your vision goes. That's why your hearing goes. That's why your teeth fall out. That's why your knees ache and your hips ache and your knuckles ache and your wrists ache, because your body is under a curse. And Paul says, right now we moan and groan, but we're waiting for the adoption. Now, what is the adoption? It is the redemption of our body. And what that means is this. Paul says, right now, you are waiting for the day when that trumpet sounds and you get your declaration from the Father that you are in the family. All right? Now, have you ever heard this term, Steve? Bar mitzvah. We had Jacob's bar mitzvah when we went over to Israel a few years back. When a Jewish boy, when he turns 13 years of old, years of age, mom and dad have a bar mitzvah. They graduate their son into adulthood. Do you remember Jacob and his coat of many colors? You remember that? And he got that coat from who? His daddy. Exactly right. And what happened was, his daddy gave him a bar mitzvah, and he gave him a bar mitzvah present. He gave him a coat. And what they would do is make a big deal out of it. They would say, here, son, you give me that child cloak, that child coat, and here is the adult coat. You're no longer a little boy. You are today a man. And that father at the bar mitzvah says to everybody that this is my son, and he will inherit my name, and he will inherit my wealth, and he will inherit all that is mine. And the Apostle Paul, in the same fashion, says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. When Jesus comes to take us home, when that rapture takes place, we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will be given our adult standing. At that time, we will no longer be called just the sons of God. We will be called joint heirs with Jesus. And we will at that moment be declared by God to be joint heirs, and we'll inherit the family fortune, and we will inherit the family business, and we will rule and reign alongside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Fully sanctified. Man, we got something to look forward to, don't we? Huh? Even so, come, Lord Jesus.